thank God for you all. That's what all I got to say is thank God for you all. You make me feel welcome. You tell me to keep coming back. Even though you might not mean it, you still tell me keep coming back. What it was like, what happened. I'm sober since September 09. Actually, it's interesting. I haven't drank since actually April of 89. But I had to get honest about some other things after 12 years of sobriety and pick up a white chip. And 12 of the best years of my life sober here. But with the 12 years, I started lying, cheating, stealing, which didn't even realize I was doing it. But I was doing it. I was married with a beautiful wife, two beautiful little girls, and I started cheating on the wife. And that conscious, man, it's tough, I tell you. And I pretty much couldn't live with myself. And the guilt, shame, all of that. And ended up going back out for 8 years. And although I didn't drink, I was deathly afraid to drink. I just was deathly afraid. I'd do some other crazy things, but I was still deathly afraid to drink. I extremely blessed to have a guy that called me after about 10 years. I hadn't seen or heard from him. Last time I saw him was at 3333 Club. And I was actually working in a treatment center, getting people out of jails and putting them in treatment. And I visited this guy in because he was a friend. And I just put a few dollars in his canteen. When he got out, he'd come to 3333. And I'd always give him a couple of dollars if he stayed for the meeting. And he would stay. And I ended up going back out, relapsing. And I hear from this guy on the phone I hadn't seen in years. And I'm thinking he's still homeless. He's still a mess. And what do you want? Is my first question. What do you want? And he says, I just want to know how you're doing. And I'm a mess, and the last thing I want to do is tell the truth. But I know so many people, so he already knew. Even though he wasn't living here, he already knew what was going on with me. And he said he was calling me to help. And I said, help? How are you going to help me? And he said, I'll get you into treatment. I'll pay for it. He says, you don't have to pay me back. He says, you don't even have to stay sober. And I'm like, what? Are you, man, if I had the money, I wouldn't pay for it. You know, I'm like, you out of your mind? And I got to think about this. You know, I don't want no help. I don't want anybody to know I need help. There's pride and ego and running my mouth for 12 years, working in treatment centers. You know, I knew it all. And quoting that big book and the step book. And I didn't even want to show my face. So I took him up on it. And he drives 3 hours, comes to get me. And he had this beautiful BMW and it was SUV. And I'm thinking he's homeless. Man, this guy is doing good. I said, what the hell happened to you? He says that he's been sober ever since. And I'm puking out his window. I'm a mess. He gets me to in there. And for 21 days, I stay in there. And went through hell detoxing for a long time. And got out of there. He picked me up. He drove me all the way back home. I'll forever owe this person NAA. The rest of my life, I owe that debt that I can never pay back. But he calls me a couple of months ago. He's having trouble. And now he's relapsed, you know, and he's got about a week or two clean. So it's just amazing. You never know, you know, when you can be there to help somebody else, that this disease is a bitch. And I had all these excuses for years, most of my life, and my story is just a story. You know, I tell myself this story to use an excuse to get ripped. Father died on my 10th birthday. Mother died a couple of years later. I got a sister that's my oldest sister, who's a mentor to me, going to teach me how to grow up. And I'm running the streets in New York just looking to feel good. I used to think I liked drinking. Nobody likes drinking piss warm Thunderbird. It's nasty. I mean, it's just nasty. You know, I like the effect it produced. That's all I wanted, was to feel good. But it didn't matter what happened to me. I was an alcoholic right out the gate, you know. But I had everything in my past was an excuse for me to keep going, keep getting ripped. I thought I was the victim, and I was entitled, and the world owed me a life, man. Every one of you all owed, and I had so full of hate and anger that I just wanted to get even. And you can't get even with God. It's, you just can't, you know. You just can't get even with God. It don't happen. Hate never gets even. But I tried. I tried every which way. And when they said that, I had gone into treatment, and I had been on methadone 17 years straight. And I get in the treatment, and they people in the meeting saying they're alcoholic, and I get up out of the room and I said, this is a mistake. I'm not an alcoholic. I didn't even think I was a drug addict. You know, so this is a mistake. I'm just here for detox only. And this is 14 days later, and they're not giving me any more meds. And they got the steps on the wall. And I took a brief look, and I'm definitely not an alcoholic. I'm not doing none of this. And supposed to stay 28 days, but because they were giving me no more meds, I'm out of here, you know, just let me go. And I get out the door, go straight to the bar. I'm going to prove I'm not an alcoholic, that I could drink, and I could drink as much as I want, as long as I want, and I'm okay. So the next 5 years, that back then, were hell. More fighting, more DUIs, more trouble. I mean, I used to get picked up in the city back when I was 16. 5 foot nothing, 100 pounds, going down to the Tombs in the New York City, underground prison in New York. Get picked up for loitering with the intent. I hadn't even done nothing yet. I mean, they just scooping me up. So the methadone was the solution then. This way I'd become a legalized dope fiend and wouldn't have any more trouble. I didn't know it at the time. I just wanted to stay out of trouble and get some free drugs. Back then, it was in 69, it was for the veterans coming back from Vietnam that were strung out. But I managed to get in the working treatment centers, getting people out of jail. Judge Heinrich, hundreds of people out of jail. I'd even be able to go to prisons and get people out of prison after they'd been sentenced. It was all crack cocaine moms, alcoholic moms, pregnant moms. And I had a purpose, man. I was always looking for the credit. Always wanted all the credit. You know, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And not really grateful for much. Today I'm extremely grateful. So I got fired from that job because I bailed three women out of Orient Road Jail. And a week later, my picture was in the paper with the three women I bailed out, with the statement, patient pipeline. So that was the end of my career there. The feds got involved because it was Medicaid. There was Medicaid fraud involved. And I'm scared to death. They had a grand jury hearing. And I was supposed to go up before the grand jury. And I asked the guy at 33, what should I do? He says, Michael, get honest. What? Get honest. I can't get honest. Are you crazy? So I get honest. The guy running the place ends up getting 5 years. The woman who turned the evidence got 6 months or something. The two people that took bribes got the house arrest. And by the grace of God, I got nothing. And I didn't even have a deal. And just by getting honest and telling the truth. And that's what I try to do now, is to tell the truth, even when I don't want to. I tell the truth. And this group has been extremely significant in my recovery. Because when I got out of that treatment, they were right here. And I was right on Davis Island, so I'd get over here and try and hang out and a mess. And they'd take me over to Davis Island, Tate's or whatever. And then they wanted me to go to this retreat. Oh, I'm sorry, advance. I'm sorry. And we go to this advance, and I'd get little bit by little bit, more and more comfortable in my skin, and not feel so different, you know. For so long, I felt so different, and I could come here and feel like I belong. And I never felt like I belonged anywhere unless I was ripped. And if it wasn't for you all getting honest, telling the truth, I'd have never got honest. The shame, the guilt, the embarrassment. You all seem to take that away by just getting honest and telling the truth. And today I'm extremely grateful for that. Today I go to jails. They had barred me from going into jails because they were afraid I was paying judges. They were afraid I was paying deputies. They barred me from going in there. Today I'm able to go in there and bring meetings in there. So I'm extremely grateful. I was there today with the 30 guys in there that ordered to this program in there. And that's always fun. You know, that is always fun. And they're not even there because they want to be there. They're there because they're looking for an angle, which I understand very well. Very well. All too well. And that just, the best part of all that in detox meetings is when I come to a meeting and I see somebody from jail or detox, it's amazing. You know, I just get chills, goosebumps, seeing that person is coming to a meeting freely of their own will and making it, trying. And that's me. You know, when I see them doing it, that's me, you know, doing it. Because I don't realize that I'm doing it sometimes, you know. But when I see somebody else doing it, I say, shit, this is possible. This is the greatest place in the world. There's more hope here than anywhere. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Anybody here can do it too. If you just want it, even if you don't want it, you can do it. Just keep coming back like they keep telling me. Thank you for my sobriety.